So for tonight, I just want to just say that the SOZA ministry is, again, to save, deliver, protect. It's protection, it's healing, preservation. It causes us to do well and to be made whole. And this SOZA model is not like probably anything that you've heard or experienced before. It's not like some other well-known ministry models that probably you've heard of with Bethel. And, you know, Pastor Chuck's going to share a little bit about some of the differences so you'll be able to understand how this is different, because he's gone through the training with that. Maybe has anybody else gone through the Bethel SOZO model? Okay, good, good. It'll be good for you to kind of see and experience it firsthand. And, I mean, God's just breathing on this because he does want all the church, the body, to be brought into greater wholeness. So the backbone for us and with this ministry, the SOZO model, is forgiveness. And you're going to find that that is the most important thing, because that's the open door of the enemy. When we harbor unforgiveness in our heart, that's how the enemy comes at us and against us and brings torment. But my first experience, just to tell you a little bit about myself, was some 20 years ago, and the ministry of deliverance was already on the rise. And, you know, there were some mistakes that were being made, because many people were trying to do it out of their own strength. And for myself, it was like, as I was single, myself and my best friend, we were like, couldn't get enough. It was like, we wanted to learn more about how to set people free. And we were at a Baptist church, but we were just like going to this deliverance ministry and that one and reading every book I can get my hand on. So who here ever read the book, Pigs in the Parlor? Okay, there you go. That was like an introduction to the things that were unseen in the area of warfare. And that was by Frank and Ida Mae Hammond. And they began to bring some exposure and understanding to the things that are unseen, because you can feel those effects and the pressure and oppression of the spiritual world, but often you can't single it out and isolate. What is it? You just feel the effects of it. And often it's because of the sin that all of us were born into. That's what separates all of us from the Lord. But when we are born again, when we come into that salvation, there's that time of, whew, hallelujah, I'm saved. But then we walk it out. And there's that honeymoon time, that period of just even euphoria, because, you know, especially the Jack Daniels kind of Christian, you know, like maybe you and maybe me and probably many of us, you know, it's like, oh, saved from much, delivered from much. But back then when I was being exposed to that, it was like I was running hard and fast, and I was just trying to get my hands on every tape I could and every book I could. And, you know, a very excellent deliverance minister, you can look it up online. It's like for your own ongoing research and just empowering yourself and putting all the tools inside of your spirit and in your heart and soul. Don Dickerman, that one is called When Pigs Move Out. And he's been doing this for 4 decades. And we had the privilege of meeting him not too long ago, because he was here in Houston. And what we're finding is like this whole thing, you can't confront the demonic with your own natural strength. You have the power that's been given to you from heaven. And when we tried in the past to, you know, yell the loudest and, you know, demon, come out, and, you know, who do you think you are? Tell me your name. And, you know, I don't know if anybody's ever been a part of that or experienced that or remember those days. You know, it's like you're scaring that person because they don't even understand what's going on, especially if they don't even know the Lord. But, you know, there's different forms of demonic assignments. And many people experience that oppression. And as a believer, you cannot be possessed. But there are those manifestations. And often you'll experience that the people that have that unforgiveness, it's because the enemy has a legal right to them. And you've got to identify what that legal right is. So what we're going to look to do and hope to really accomplish while you're all here with us today is just to disintegrate that former stigma and model regarding the deliverance ministry, because Christ has called us to do as he did. And he went about and he set the captives free and he cast out demons. And it's not as difficult as maybe some people have thought. And it's something that nobody needs to be afraid of. You don't have to be afraid of anything. You know, the power is in the name of Jesus. It's in the name. And it's not in the blood. We are redeemed through the blood personally. And as everybody gives their heart to Jesus, but it's in the power of attorney that he has given us in his name. And so when you find somebody that even when they're manifesting now, it's like submit in the name of Jesus. I command you submit in the name of Jesus. You don't have to confront. You don't have to throw them down like you used to back way in the day when people were really looking to respond to the situations because they were desperate then and they're still desperate now. You see, even in that video, there are people all over. In your world, wherever you're going, you're seeing people that are desperate and you're seeing dark times. But God is bringing us into such a greater place through the culmination of learning and understanding what the deliverance ministry is about and how he's looking to empower us. So with Pastor Chuck and I, there's been just the culmination and capturing this blueprint, this model. I mean, you can literally like read the book and just go through that with someone, even when you're beginning, as we'll show you. And there are many people that have gone before us that we can thank that have passed the baton. I mean, he wants everybody, the whole church, to rise up and participate in this ministry because you have been empowered by the Holy Spirit. Just as Acts 10:38 says that God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and with power. And this is that dunamis power. That is like dynamite. That's where we get that from, to break things open. But it's because the anointing is on you to set the captives free. And it's through your yielding. And I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself. Let me just kind of stick with this here. So what we want to do is just really thank everybody, all the ministers, all the intercessors, everyone that has had a part in bringing this ministry here to Houston Revival Center. It was brought 9 years ago when, I mean, I've done probably deliverance and we have as a church for about 17 years, but it went into a different cross training and going even deeper when we had Jim and Kay Baker here with us. There was an impartation and it was just a means of us being able to take people into those places of greater freedom through Christ Jesus. And some of those other references I mentioned, I put those back there. How to forgive when you don't feel like it. Most of the time, you're not going to feel like forgiving, you know, especially if somebody's hurt you and you're like, you don't know what they did to me. You know, they deserve to be hurting like they hurt me, you know. But this will dismantle all that too, all those thoughts. It's like you yield to the love of God and you'll begin to experience that freedom that comes from releasing others and severing those soul ties. So God is just doing such a powerful work. And even with this conference, I just want to thank everybody that's had a part in it, from Penny over here. And we've had Carlene, Rosa, Linda, Fran. They're all of our SOZO ministers also. We have V. Marie right here, who's helped tremendously. Chris and Lynn. And we've got Carolyn on the camera because we're recording this. We want to capture this. And we have almost 28,000 people around the world that come online through Houston Revival Center and multiple nations around the world. So isn't that exciting what God's doing? You know, we need to raise up those ministers that are mature believers and release them to do this. So that's our vision. And what we want to do is just pour into you all that we've received in this and just thank everybody for coming here, coming out tonight. Again, our hospitality and our greeters and Mike and just everybody. You know, there's a lot of people behind the scenes when you host conferences. But most of all, we just want to thank you and welcome you for being here with us. And Chuck, did you want to just share a moment about your heart and kind of like your little background? Bring up Pastor Chuck. This is when we go, whoa, 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 this house. Everybody loves Pastor Chuck. He's such an awesome, awesome brother.
Hey, welcome. You know, as I look around, it's kind of like being at a family reunion because I've ministered with a lot of you people, come to know so many people really well and wonderfully, and just as a whole family here, and it's wonderful just for you guys to be in the house and get to partake of what God is doing, and I'm just excited for that. I'm excited for what this means for Houston. I'm excited for what it means for people who are hurting. And as far as to just giving you a little background about me, I didn't get saved till I was 35. And that was a while back. When I got saved, see, I'd lived a lot of life already. And I lived life pretty hard. And so there was not too many things that you can do that I didn't already do. And so when somebody comes to me, there's no judgment. Because why am I judging you when I've already done these same things? And, you know, and part of that was that, you know, I got a word along the way that said, God's going to use this to redeem the time. So all those things that I walk through, I'm going to be able to speak into somebody else's life so they don't have to walk through. And we're going to begin to bring deliverance to somebody else's life so they don't have to suffer with it. They don't have to be underneath that. I love to work with young people because I can save them 30 years. Right? Hallelujah. Part of that testimony was that, all my life up until I got saved, actually until I got delivered, which is almost a year later, I would hear voices. And see, these voices would tell me things like, jump in front of that bus because nobody cares. Because God has such an interesting turn of how he wants people to know and to do things. Because, see, he takes somebody like that and brings them and calls them to be and to work in deliverance and healing with people. This is the way God works. And so, part of that is he wants to let everybody know there's no judgment. There's only him and what he wants to do in his lives. And each one of you have an opportunity here to grab a hold of this. Take it home with you. Stir yourself, stir your neighborhood, stir your church, stir your community with it. That's what we're looking and what we want to see happening here. And I know that, a lot of times when people say Sozo, they kind of think Bethel Sozo. And that's a wonderful ministry. And there's so much that gets done there. But there's a lot of differences between us. They use the Father Ladder as their main thing. And we use forgiveness as our main way of accessing everything that we do. Forgiveness is the thing that is probably the biggest legal access or legal right that the enemy has. And so when we walk you through and when we take you out of the unforgiveness and into the forgiveness, there's change that happens. Because, see, now we've cut off the things that the enemy is using against you. So I just encourage you, just as we go through, just bear with us and let us love on you. Because we want this. This is first and foremost a ministry of love.
Thank you. So what we're going to be going over tonight, you can go ahead and turn to page 6. Oh, whoa. No. Just one second. I forgot something already. Okay, I want to take this time and recognize all of our churches that are here. I want you to just look up there. Isn't this awesome and mighty what God is doing in the house and in the city? He is God of the city, and we have so many people that are represented from different parts of the city, from Baytown, from Katy, from Lake Conroe, from the Woodlands. And I just want to ask all of those that are pastors to please stand up. Those that are pastors in your house, want those to stand up. Tim, right here out in the Cypress area. Come on, Juan and Melanie. There are our sister church, our plant down in the Pasadena area. Michael Constantine is here. Awesome man of God. Love him. Warriors Worship Center. And those of you also that are youth ministers, I want you to just stand up for just a moment within your churches too. Over here. Outstanding. Whoa. This is awesome. And I just want to take a moment too. Even as you peruse that table back there, there's an awesome author in our house. Her name is Laura Gallier. Stand up for just a second. She's written a book called The Delusion. And God's got her planted over in a close by Baptist church, but God's doing a powerful thing through her and with this message. And it ties in. It's called The Delusion. It's becoming a movie. She's got the second book out, and it's going to help kind of in our present day and hour, like this present darkness did so many years ago, if anybody ever read that. So there's some bookmarks back there, and we just want to empower this young generation to avoid the mistakes that probably some of you and me made when we were teenagers and in our early 20s. It's just, we just want to release the word of God and truth and show what sin does, because it brings consequences. And God's word says, He says, I mean, the whole problem with humanity is sin. That sin, because we were all born into sin, but if you think about it, John 8:34 tells us that it's that sin that makes us a slave to Satan. It makes us a slave to the enemy. And everybody that's been born, even through generational, you've inherited things that you don't even know that your parents or great parents or great grandparents may have participated in. Whether superstitions, you know, I come from Iceland. I had to break some of that off. You know, some of those things that they believe that, you know, the God of Thor, you know, although I like that movie, the Thor, you know. But if you just think about it, whatever your background or cultural influence or family inheritance, we want what God's word says about who us in our identity. And sometimes we have to break off some of those religious mindsets and even oaths that may have been made through Freemasonry and even some of the things that, you know, we were just raised up in. And so with the generational curses, I hope you all got the email asking you, did you get the email and did you get to go over the generational curses? Did you get to take the time to do that? Okay, because what we want to do, we're just going to begin the sozo and walk you through it. And even if you didn't get a chance to see it, you're going to find that you'll experience it as you walk through this. So what I'm going to do is have the foundational scriptural word sowed into your heart and sowed into what we're doing tonight. And that is out of Ephesians. That's 53:3-5. And I'm going to just read this to you. And I'm going to just ask all of you to close your eyes for just a moment. And then I'm going to walk you through a prayer of surrender, because this is not only just for us. This is for everybody that's tuning in all around the world. Okay? So I'm just going to read this to you, because this is what Jesus did for you. This is what he did. So I just want everybody to just take this time, close your eyes and receive the word of the Lord for you, what Jesus did for you, according to Isaiah 53:3-5. He was despised and rejected and forsaken by men, a man of sorrows and pain and acquainted with grief and sickness. For surely he has borne our griefs, sicknesses, weaknesses, and distresses, and carried our sorrows and pains of punishment. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our guilt and iniquities. The chastisement needful to obtain peace and well-being for us was upon him. And with the stripes that wounded him, we are healed and made whole. That is present day, here and now. We are healed. We are made whole. And see, furthermore, Romans 8:2 tells us, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Amen? Amen. Amen. And we want freedom in every area of our life and abundance in every area of our lives. So I'm just going to take this moment and I'm going to break this out in short pieces, because I'm going to have you repeat after me right where you are. And this is the opening prayer for every ministry session when we come together. And again, I'm going to ask you just to close your eyes, because the whole thing is about you connecting with the Lord. So I'm just going to have you repeat after me. Heavenly Father, I trust your love and leadership of my life. I surrender my body, soul, and spirit completely to you. I surrender all parts of my identity and my thought life completely to you. I ask that through the Holy Spirit, you would reveal to me the areas where you want to bring truth, deliverance, and healing. I thank you that there is no pressure on me. And I can trust you to reveal and do whatever is needed. Heavenly Father, I thank you that I am made in your image. You gave me my emotions. However, I repent for any time that I use them for sin or blocked or controlled them in an ungodly way. I choose now to surrender to you all my emotions. Help me to recognize, acknowledge, and feel any emotions that are connected to these memories and events that you want me to feel. I choose to trust in your love and believe your word that it is safe to give you that control. I surrender my whole heart to you in the name of Jesus. Now I'm going to go ahead and just keep you right where you are and just explain for a moment. It's at this time that we take that person in prayer and we take them into the throne room of God and we take them into that place of grace according to Hebrews 4:16 that says that we come into the presence of God. We come into his throne room whereby we receive help and mercy in our time of need. So in that, we are brought into a different jurisdiction. It's a heavenly realm when you experience that. Where you're not here, the enemy doesn't have any access to you. And we begin taking authority and we ask for your permission to put our hand on your shoulder. And it's at that time that we bind up any and every evil spirit, and we forbid them from manifesting in any way. We set the ground rules. You set the ground rules when you're ministering one-on-one with somebody, and you'll have an intercessor there, and we'll demonstrate this tomorrow. But this is what we do. Now, for those that have gone through the generational curse prayers, I just want you to receive as I take authority over those, because this is what we do. Because we start with the generational curse prayers, then we address the area of the spirit, and then the body, and then the soul. And so I'm just going to take that authority over every evil spirit that has been passed down through the generations for you. So Father God, in the name of Jesus, I just want to take a second. Where are those that are receiving this? Just lift up your hand for just a moment for those. Okay, amen. That you've not done the generational curse prayers yet? Okay. Did you get to do them? Didn't have a chance to? Okay. You did? Okay. I'll demonstrate what we do. So we take authority right then and there. We just say, in the name of Jesus, I command every evil spirit that has had access to you through your ancestors, any oaths, any vows, anything that is passed down through your ancestry line, we command every evil spirit to release and to go. We decree you have no legal rights anymore in the name of Jesus. We command every evil spirit that has had access to go now. You cannot hide. You cannot stay. In the name of Jesus, I command you to release and to go now. From everyone that has prayed that prayer right here, right now, I release my authority and I command you release and go now in the name of Jesus. And I command you to go to the feet of Jesus now. Amen. Amen. And so even at that time, there'll be times some of the people that I've ministered to, they may be, you know, yawning. Sometimes there may even be, you know, some tightness in the throat. We'll just have them breathe in and breathe out deeply, because this is the pneuma of the Lord and how he's created us. Just like the ruah, breath of God, when he breathed life into Adam. You know, we're body, soul, and spirit. So we address the ministry of sozo in those areas. However it is that the enemy has been able to open the doors, whether through sin or things that have happened to us, we begin closing the door. And that's the blueprint. And that's the integrity of the model that we look for everybody to use when they begin ministering to other people. So we start with the generational curses, and then the area of the spirit, anything that anybody ever tapped into, whether the occult or any form of witchcraft. And we'll go a little more deeper into these things, but this is the overview that we're going to be taking and breaking down again for you in detail. So I'm going to just take this time. I'm going to ask our sozo team, our sozo ministers, to stand up for a moment. All of you, please stand up. This is Vi right here. We've got Adam and Jennifer, who came a couple of years. You're going to get to hear from them a little bit later as they share their personal testimony, what God did, and all of our seasoned, mature, very powerful intercessors and ministers that are standing right now, from Fran to Penny to Carlene to Rosalinda and to Vi. And what we're going to do is tomorrow during the break, for anybody that has not gone through sozo yet, we're going to be opening up our home to you, those that want to sign up and receive personal ministry. And for those of you that have gone through the ministry and want to come and intercede and learn how to do this, you're going to experience it tomorrow, but also we're going to make that available. There'll be a couple of lists tomorrow for those to sign up that want to receive personal sozo ministry, and then those that want to come in for training. So everybody got that? Okay. We'll go over that again tomorrow. So what we have with the sozo ministry is just the means and releasing this to you so that you can help other people experience that inner healing, to bring that restoration, that they would overcome every enemy of their body, soul, and spirit. Jesus came to set us all free from any and all bondage. So when he says all were healed, what part of all are we not getting yet? You know what I'm saying? It's like we want all. And I know you're here because you want all. Not only for you, but you want your family members. You want them healed and saved and walking in that divine health, because that is God's heart for his people. That is his love for us, that we experience that. So with the inner healing, that means that restoration and soundness, to bring ease and relief to any and all emotional distress. It's the overcoming, removal of the past soul wounds, those hurts. And often, like I said, it's like in the subconscious. And when it's unresolved, it just has a means of triggering. Anybody ever just like lashed out in anger at your spouse or even at your kids and then had to go back and say, oh, I'm so sorry. We didn't mean to lose it. You know, because I mean, something just got a hold of you. But when you begin to walk more and more and more in the love of God, you walk in the fruit of the Spirit. You walk in that love and joy and peace, patience. And mamas in here need some patience, you know. And this ministry, it requires that love and that patience more than anything else. It's a labor of love, but it's also very rewarding because it's very effective. You don't feel drained after you've had this ministry time, because the anointing and the presence of God is there to break every yoke and every spiritual bondage. So the ministry of healing and deliverance, and it's to renew you, bring forth that transformation of your mind. That's how you walk it out. It's like continuing to know the truth and walk in the truth. And there's so much joy when you go into the Word. It's so powerful. It's alive and it's living, and it brings about permanent change. Anybody experience some permanent change in their lives? The free person that they were? So, deliverance. Really, the sozo definition is submitting our lives fully to Christ. Completely surrendering to his lordship. That's like you know, the summarized version of that sozo. And so why do we need it? It removes hindrances, things that prevent us from having that intimacy with the Lord. And it causes us to be prepared for the things to come. And the Lord has shown us that there's the apostolic commissioning. He's looking for us to follow in that biblical model, that biblical commission, and bringing everybody into salvation. But also we're in a time where there's great darkness covering the earth. And gross darkness, the people. And so when we see that, you're going to have the means to do something about it through the prayers that you release over them. So he's preparing us. He's bringing us into maturity. Now you're going to want to know this. Anybody who's ever gone through counseling, you know, the ladies that I've ministered to, they've come and they said, whether they've gone through months or years of counseling, it's like, whoa. You know, this can't touch that because, I mean, this whole sozo ministry, it's not just about talking because 1 Corinthians 4:20 says, for the kingdom of God is not in word, not in talk only, but in power. So in that power, it's not just talking through your problems because it's almost like leaving all those problems that you have and putting that in a fruit basket, you know, like that rotten fruit, you get rid of all the anger and the frustration, you put it in that basket and you get up and you leave, but you still got the tree, you got the root inside of you, and it's only going to keep reproducing after itself. So what we do is we get to the root, we pull out the whole tree. Amen? Amen. So then you have the tree of life inside of you, and you're producing and reproducing that fruit so you can feed the nations. He wants the leaves and the fruit for you to be able to feed the nations. So that is how it's different from the traditional counseling. And so why minister? Why minister in sozo? This is for you and for me. It says to pray is to let go and let God take over. It's not your responsibility to try to figure out how to help that person because every person is so unique. Their background is so just the Lord knows everything that person has gone through. Every facet of their life, every hurt, every betrayal, every form of abuse, whether through father or through an uncle or a stepdad. And it's like the Lord knows all of those things. And so the whole purpose of sozo is to demonstrate the love of God and to release the power, the anointing that breaks every yoke and spiritual bondage. So everyone's desperate for the supernatural, and you see so much of that. They're like, well, you know, what's my future about? You know, they call a psychic, you know, 1-800, I don't even know what the number is, but it's just, you know, there's people that are searching out desperately for what the future holds, and they want to know what is going on in the realm of the spirit, but they're just going to the wrong source. We want to go to the Lord because he knows everything. He knows everything. Everything about you. He knows the plan he has for you of good and not evil, a hope and a future. And that's what he wants us to walk out, your full destiny. And so with ministering the sozo, it's about allowing and bringing people into a deeper relationship with the Lord. And it allows that love to be demonstrated. So who should do it? You, everybody, and me. And everybody, the whole body of Christ, the whole church, is to rise up in this hour that we're living in and be Jesus, be the hands, be the feet, and minister so that people come into their destiny. It's that whole purpose of causing people to come into that place of freedom. So that's what we wanted to do, is just raise up an army of sozo believers everywhere. So the qualifications of a minister. So one must be born again. That's the premise. That's where it starts. This is for the bride of Christ. This is out of his love for her. This is how you're able to make new disciples. He showed us this ministry through that sozo model, that unconditional love. Again, never judging anybody. Pastor Chuck was talking about somebody who, you know, just came in huge and just looming and very intimidating one time, and he wanted to take a step back for a moment. But it's like the love of God came into his heart and poured through him. And every time I have a ministry session, I begin praying for that person even before I sit down with them. It's like, Lord, let your love flow through me. Because one of the biggest areas that cause shame is how that shame silences those that have experienced so much hurt, they're afraid they're going to be judged. They're afraid they're going to be rejected somehow. So that's where that love, that unconditional love and mercy comes from. Pastor Chuck was saying, it's like, thank you, Lord, for what you're doing for them. It's more powerful and more important that they get set free more than anything else. And so the thing that's amazing, even if you hear the most horrific testimonies, I mean, I'm talking devastating. You know, I've heard so many people with what they've gone through, and it's women with women and men with men with this model. But some of those things, it's like the Lord, when I surrender to him, it's like I don't have a remembrance of it. It's like he takes it all on the cross, and we just get to be the instruments in which we carry that person and help them with removing that burden and surrendering it all to the Lord Jesus, because he took everything upon the cross for us. So who should be afraid? Nobody. Absolutely nobody. And we wanted to use this picture as an illustration to show you that there's nothing to be afraid of. I mean, God's given us that power. He's given us that authority. And when we release that, he's the one that anoints you with that power. And it just flows through you. And this here says, if you get up closer, it says fear comes in different ways. But see, the thing is, fear has no place. You know, as believers, we do not need to be afraid of anything, because that fear is a spirit. We take authority and we refuse it, and it doesn't have any access. We refuse it. You just have to take that position, that stand, refusing it. And this is, you know, the devil's afraid of you. And no matter what threats he may try to come and use against you, I'm going to hit you, I'm going to hurt you. I mean, I've seen some, you know, intense things. Somebody was just wanting to, you know, wipe me with a pen, you know, probably, you know, but it's like, no, you have no authority here. It's like, no, I bind you in the name of Jesus. And they are bound. They are bound, brothers and sisters. They are bound. So the whole purpose is getting down to the root, because that's where you have to identify why that spirit has a legal right to be there. And then through bringing them to that place, that's how they get set free. So there's nothing to be afraid of. Who are we ministering to? First and foremost, people. And, you know, we put that picture up there of the family because it affects and impacts the whole family, from the father to the mother. It changes the atmosphere of the home. It changes how we love one another, those that have hurt us. And when you allow Christ that place, he's the one that causes all of those presences just to leave, that they cannot stay. And he's the answer to every problem that everybody has in their lives. So when we minister, it trickles down and it just keeps flowing. Deliverance and the unbeliever. This has to do with it being a tremendous sozo tool. It brings people into salvation. It causes people that may have never experienced the love of the Father to come into that deeper and more personal relationship, an intimate relationship with the Lord. Because we're no longer trying to hide from God the Father. We get to run to him. And for those that have never heard that message of God, that gospel, is when they experience that salvation, that's when they experience truly that reconciliation with the Father. And that through Christ, he says that you should be one with me, that you may be one with the Father. And in that, you are dangerous. Everybody say that, dangerous. So I'm going to go ahead and turn this over to Pastor Chuck, and he is going to tell you how these legal rights are given. And you're going to love this.
Amen, amen. I'll let you have yours. Now I'm going to open up to page 10 there. I'm going to just read this first section because it captures something. Satan gains legal rights in our lives through our sin, our choices, the events that we participated in or that happened to us. See, each of us are three-part beings, having a spirit, a soul, and a body, and we can give legal rights to the enemy in any of these parts. In this section, we're going to look at each one of these parts where we might have given a legal right to the enemy. And so, number one is going to be the spirit realm. And in the spirit realm, when we're talking about the spirit realm, well, number one, let's not get real kooky, okay? Okay, I've seen people start looking for demons behind every doorknob, and you know, and everything's an object, and You know, when God shows something, when he highlights it, he's going to make it real clear. All right? Certain things are obviously off limits. You don't need to be making satanic covenants. And if you did, let's break it. Okay? We don't have to make it, it doesn't have to be spooky. It doesn't have to be hard. It just means that we be real straight up about it. We just know that you have the authority. It doesn't matter. See, I remember she was talking about, you know, about people being bound. I remember one lady, we were in a Sozo session, or in a session, and she started to come up out of her chair, and she was coming for the throat. And the lady that was with me just said, "You're bound in Jesus' name." And instantly her hands went back down and locked. They were locked to the chair that she was sitting in. See, we have nothing to be afraid of because that's the kind of God we serve. So know that we can give legal rights to the enemy by the participation in the occult, the participation in the things of the kingdom of darkness, participation through, sometimes through our choices, through our religion, maybe, if we've been into Eastern religions, into witchcraft, occult, those kind of things, all those represent legal ties and legal means for the enemy. So what we want to understand is that those things have a real right if we have done those. But it's just a matter of breaking that agreement, breaking what we put our soul into, beginning to separate ourselves by our words and by our actions. I had a young man who came to me, and it was interesting because it illustrates the legal right that sometimes an object can have. And so what he was doing was, He would actually, when he was in public places, like at a ballpark, you know, anytime he was still in high school, so anytime that certain music played, his body would manifest in ways that he didn't really want to be doing. And so he wanted to find an answer. What is this? He didn't even understand what it was. And so we went through the unforgiveness that was there for one of his parents, and we broke those things of unforgiveness first. But once we broke those things of God and forgiveness, he still had a manifestation going on. And it turned out that this manifestation, for whatever reason, was tied to the little yin-yang symbol. So when he got rid of that, or actually when he made the promise to get rid of that, the tie was broken and he was done. And he was able to go to the next pep rally without having a problem. Hallelujah. This is what God does. See, he's always showing us these things. So Eastern religions, cults, New Age, Christian Science, Buddhism, sometimes even different books that you may have read. I read Carlos Castaneda when I was, I told you I lived life hard. I read Carlos Castaneda, and it's all about Indian, it's actually Indian drug scene is what it really is, but basically Indian worship, and you know, their spirit worship. And so, but because I had read those things created ties that had to be broken. Repentance becomes the key to how you break those ties. Repentance is the thing that opens up the door to get free of that.